Right now, most churches are planning their budgets for 2009. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the sponsors page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
Completely supportive of a ban on late-term abortions, partial birth or otherwise, as long as there's an exception for the mother's health and life.
An example of the eloquence of Senator Obama, he's health for the mother. You know, that's been stretched by the pro-abortion movement in America to mean almost anything. That's the extreme pro-abortion position, quote, health.
Little excerpt from last night's presidential debate on the subject of abortion. Boy, they spent some time talking about it, too. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Thursday, October the 16th. Well, abortion was one of the subjects that the two candidates addressed last night, and they both talked about common ground. They both talked about reaching some sort of an agreement, working together. Senator Obama even said at one point, no one is pro-abortion. Which came as news to me. I wonder what he meant by that. We're going to be talking with Colleen Carroll Campbell here for the first 10 minutes of this hour of Issues Etc. about two issues, last night's presidential debate, and also the media coverage of the campaign rallies of the two candidates. After our conversation with Colleen, Dr. Carl Fakencher joins us. We're going to talk about the doctrine of the Trinity. You know, there are Christians out there who say, God's a mystery. The Trinity's a mystery. So we really shouldn't even make an effort to explain it or understand it. But there are very clear teachings in Scripture about what God reveals himself to be as three persons, one God. So we can't afford to ignore it, can we? We'll talk about the Trinity in about 10 minutes here on Issues Etc. You can join us, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or just email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. Colleen Carroll Campbell is a regular guest, a St. Louis-based fellow for the Ethics and Public Policy Center. She's author of the book, The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Colleen, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
You're just, if I woke you up at 3 o'clock in the morning last night and said, Colleen, what did you think about the debate, the third and the final of the presidential debates before everybody gets to make their decision in about 3 weeks? What would you say?
You know, I thought it was better than the first two. I thought it was much punchier, and we got a little interaction between the candidates. So I was pleased with that. And I thought McCain was feistier than he has been. He challenged Obama in ways that the mainstream media has not. Unfortunately, I thought he didn't follow through on a lot of those challenges, and so regardless of where you stand on these issues, it would have been nice to sort of see some of those arguments play out and get some resolution. For instance, Obama floated a lot of rhetoric on abortion that really doesn't match his record, and unfortunately McCain either wasn't able or didn't have the time to answer it all. So I wish that had gone a little further.
Is it just me, or is Senator Barack Obama the most unflappable politician we've ever seen in the modern media era?
He's absolutely a candidate for our TV age. He is cool and detached under pressure. He is eloquent and articulate. And, yes, I think he is unflappable. So McCain doesn't have those natural gifts that Obama does in that area, and it certainly shows in formats like this.
Did you think they covered the issues that needed to be covered? And it was billed as an economy debate. Then, of course, a little later, they talked about abortion and education briefly. Do you think they covered all the bases that the voters needed to hear about before they came to a final decision?
No, I don't really think these debates have done that. We've heard about the economy, of course, for obvious reasons. But all three debates were really dominated by issues pertaining to the economy and on proposals and counter-proposals, then I'm not sure how much these things are actually going to see the light of day. So that issue certainly got covered. Abortion, we got one mention after three debates. I don't think that's quite adequate. None of the presidential debates dealt with the issue of same-sex marriage, even though courts are overturning state bans right and left, Connecticut being the most recent example. The vice presidential debate touched on it, but not in a very direct way. Not as directly as I'd like to have seen. So a lot of the social and cultural issues that concern a lot of Christians were not a centerpiece in these debates. And, it was economy, and that benefits Barack Obama. But I think there was a lot that was left out.
One more question on the debate itself. You're familiar with television. You know what it's like to be in front of a camera and have to fit it all into that medium and that format. Do you think that television has made it impossible for these presidential debates to do what they ought to do by way of educating, contrasting, and explaining things to the American electorate?
Well, I think it has made it infinitely harder for us to discern where these candidates really stand. Unfortunately, I think it's made it a lot easier for candidates to obscure their own records and positions if they are eloquent and telegenic and know how to spin a soundbite. So it's made it a lot more difficult, but it is possible. And I think if we had tougher moderators who were a little more willing to challenge candidates like Barack Obama, particularly on issues that the mainstream media hasn't wanted to touch, I think we could have gotten more out of these debates. I think it's been a very disappointing debate cycle. And regardless of who wins or loses this election, I hope we're going to take a hard look at this Commission on Presidential Debates and make some changes for next time around.
Speaking of sound bites, did you hear Senator Obama in his response on abortion say, no one is pro-abortion? What do you think he meant by that?
Well, that's been the latest rhetorical ploy we've been hearing from those who are ardent supporters of legalized abortion, as Senator Obama is, with his 100% NARAL record, 100% record with Planned Parenthood. It's this argument that, hey, nobody likes abortion, but we think it needs to remain legal and remain a choice. If you truly see this as the killing of innocent human beings, then a similar parallel could be, for instance, slavery, in which, nobody's pro-slavery. We just think you ought to have a choice in the matter. So, when you use that kind of lens, that rhetoric doesn't stand up very well. Princeton professor Robbie George has a piece out on the web that's making the rounds on Obama's abortion record. It's a very good piece on Obama's abortion extremism, and he makes the point that, hey, maybe not everyone who supports abortion rights is, quote, pro-abortion, but if any candidate ever was, Obama would qualify. He has fought any kind of restriction on abortion. His claim that he would support some sort of late-term abortion ban is simply contradicts the facts. There really isn't ever a restriction that we can find in his record that he's ever supported on abortion, whether it be even caring for infants who survived an abortion. And he says, well, that law wasn't necessary, but he fought hard to make sure it didn't get on the books. So regardless of the rhetoric and the spin, the record on abortion for Senator Obama is crystal clear. He is a very ardent supporter of legalized abortion, and he won't break any serious restrictions on it. And I think anyone who cares about this issue needs to be aware of that and get past the rhetoric.
You wrote in today, St. Louis Post-Dispatch, about the media bias covering the campaign rallies and some of those who were attending. Talk about it, if you would.
Well, there's been a lot of talk about angry Republicans at these McCain-Palin rallies. There were apparently, a catcall here and there. Someone claims that someone yelled out, kill him, at one point, referring to Obama. The Secret Service investigated it, couldn't find any basis for that claim, and yet it made the rounds on the left-wing blogs and found its way into mainstream media reports. We've been hearing from various pundits on the left and those who are on the left but claim to be in the center, simply being reporters, they say, talking about the scary McCain-Palin supporters. Got James Carville, who said that he thinks some physical harm could come to someone attending these rallies. So we've heard all of this talk about the angry right and a lot of folks blaming John McCain and Sarah Palin for the the apparent negative tone of these rallies. What's interesting is that these same folks are overlooking a lot of the angry left, and we're talking about 8 years of foaming at the mouth fury against President Bush. And more recently, just in the past week, we've seen Obama supporters hurling Molotov cocktails at McCain signs, wearing T-shirts, calling Sarah Palin names that you couldn't mention in a newspaper or on a radio, heckling people who march in the streets for McCain Palin. So there's just a sense that that I think there's been an attempt to portray supporters of McCain and Palin as somehow fringe and loony and angry, when obviously there's no attempt to show the loony side of the angry left, and there are no shortage of examples on the left.
With only a minute here before we wrap up, Colleen, it makes me wonder about post-election reaction on the part of whoever happens to lose. What are your concerns, if any, there? Only a minute.
Well, James Carville has predicted riots if Barack Obama does not win. I think that's frightening that someone would predict that as if that were somehow an acceptable response. I don't know exactly what he was implying there. Certainly, we've got this voter fraud scandal brewing with Acorn, a group with close ties to Senator Obama, a lot of fraudulent voters getting signed up. So I wouldn't be surprised if there are dirty tricks during the election, and I certainly hope that there will be a peaceful, responsible response to whomever is elected. But, it's a tough season, and it's a hard-fought race, and there's a lot of spin going back and forth, and I hope that mainstream media coverage will reflect the fact that this is something we need to watch on both sides, particularly on the side of the angry left, who, after 8 years of a president they don't like, they feel pretty fed up, and basically you get a sense from some of the more fringe elements that they're going to stop at nothing to make sure their guy is elected or make a big stink if he's not. So it could get pretty ugly out there, and let's hope it doesn't.
Folks, you can read Colleen Carroll Campbell's column on the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. She writes for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch every week. She's author of the book, The New Faithful, and she's a St. Louis fellow for this Ethics and Public Policy Center. Colleen, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back from this break, who is God? Are there three? Are there one? Is it both? Can we understand the Trinity? What does the Bible have to say? And why doesn't it mention the word Trinity if it's so important? We'll answer all those questions after this with Dr. Carl Fikencher. Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, click the Sponsors section of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300.
What is it, Captain?
Whatever it is, it's incredibly advanced.
Hey, iPhone users, you can now listen to Issues Etc. live on your iPhone. Find out by going to piratechristianradio.com and click the iPhone link on the homepage. You no longer have to sit by your PC, laptop, or home radio to listen to Issues Etc. live. piratechristianradio.com and look for the iPhone icon.
With something much, much more. And it's going to change everything.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Every day in America, more than 3,500 babies die from abortion. Since 1973, the annual number of abortions has nearly doubled, from approximately 750,000 a year to over 1.3 million. Abortion isn't rare or safe, only legal, and every day thousands of women and teenagers are told that it is their only chance at a future. Every year, more unborn children die from abortion than Americans died in the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, both World Wars, the Korean, Vietnam, and Persian Gulf Wars combined. We at National Right to Life are working to break this cycle through education and legislation. We are working for the day when abortion will no longer exist and every child will be welcomed with open arms and protected by our laws. This has been a perspective on life from National Right to Life. For more information, visit our website, www.nrlc.org.